listening to the adventures of Lonnie, the Brotherhood of Steel Scribe, Clark, the veteran mercenary, Pat, the gearhead racer, Hazel, the traveling scholar, and Buck, the patriotic vault dweller. This is Rat Rolls, a Fallout tabletop RPG. Join us now as Clark points his pistol at the weapons master of all Nolans. How will he fare?
I think he has to pull his weapon on the ghoul. I think just character-wise, he's not going to let himself get unarmed like that. Just after he said he wasn't going to cause trouble.
Please, if you want to try to get the kitty to come here, you can do charisma plus speech difficulty 2.
Go for it, Lonnie.
I'm not going to be able to this cat, so. So I got a success and a 20.
Clark, you put your fate in Lonnie's hands. All right. So the cat. What's a complication here?
The cat has a sword. I can think of a few.
Yeah, I can think of a few bad ones that are going to happen.
The cat takes a kind of. Lonnie, you're trying to attract this cat. Going, pss, pss.
Yeah.
The cat looks at you and hisses. And then turns around and tries to run up the little stairway and walkway. And I'm gonna need you to roll. what is it? Agility plus athletics, difficulty 2.
Oh, God, fucking cut his legs off.
Oh no!
Let's see. That is not a tax skill for me. That'd be a full-on failure.
Oh, so, the. You were kind of over, like, getting the cat to come here.
Yeah.
The sword actually scratches your face for just one damage, but you now have a big kind of cut on your cheek.
Ah, son of a bitchin' cat, come here!
The cat runs up away and goes back into the shop. And the ghoul looks at you and says, any other weapons?
I have the one pointed at his face.
Right. I kind of like the idea that he said that while the weapon's being pointed at him because he doesn't even see it. It's like, nope, that's it. Seems like that's it. Yep, no more weapons.
You should have known that a former assassin wasn't going to take getting unarmed.
So Arturo Arturo gets up, takes your sword from the cat, walks to the back of the shop, snaps his finger in the air, and another cat comes back down, and you see this kind of like almost like bright light coming from the back, almost like there's welding, and Arturo walks to the front with your sword in hand and passes it to you. The sword has been modified. He passes it under the cage. There is now a hidden pistol attached to this sword, and this sword is a new weapon. It is a melee weapon called Unguard, that is a rapier that has a concealed pistol in it. It does 6 damage. It's on the weapon sheet at the very bottom.
Yep, I was looking at it.
And so
6 damage, wow.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what my pistol does too. The one that was pointed.
Arturo looks at you and says, how about them apples, cowboy?
Clark will, for the time being, he'll keep his hand on. I guess he'll have to holster the 44 that he had, and he'll pick up his sword that's been modified now, and give it a nice look over. And it seems like he's pretty happy with the work that's been done on it, and he'll ask Arturo, what kind of bullets does this take?
He said. So he kind of looks at it. He says, "So it's a modified modified pipe pistol that's been attached to a rapier sword like the one in question. It's about a 38 generally for ammunition. Really, people won't notice it. They won't notice you have a sword, so it's not very powerful, but you may be able to sneak a shot in there if you ever wish. But only takes one shot at a time. Gotta reload every time you do it. One shot, reload, kind of like a musket. 6 damage sword, and it's the pistol does 2 damage. No, you roll 2 damage dice. So, there. Arturo looks at the rest of the group and says, now that we've dealt with old prickly pear over here, what else can I get for y'all? Y'all looking for anything in particular?
So, Arturo, what else do you have here? Do weapon mods, do armor mods here by any chance?
We don't have any armor mods. Did you read the sign out front? Did you read that sign that says weapons of brass destruction? Didn't you like that? I like that.
That's pretty clever.
I think, do you want to have a laugh about it? This is the time to laugh about that. I would like everybody to laugh.
Actually, no, that's fantastic.
That gets everyone, come on, guys. This, he clearly wants us to laugh. Brass destruction, that's great. Isn't that funny, Clark? That's very funny, Clark. Huh? It's all no hard feelings. Lonnie, yeah, brass destruction's pretty funny, huh?
Clark is still looking over the modification to his sword. And you can tell on his face, it's just mass confusion of how the fuck did a couple of cats weld this on in about 30 seconds.
And I think the camera pans over a little bit and Lonnie is actually looking over your shoulder too. Like,
are they ghoul cats? Or are they just regular cats that look a little weird?
Right. The cats look like they are kind of ghoulish. They have fur, but they look kind of ghoulish. The fur is in some places and it's not in other places. They don't look like they have skin falling off them, but they look kind of ghoulish.
Huh.
Maybe those are really old cats and they've just evolved. That's creepy. I mean, they're great. Hey, they're great, Arturo. Love your cats.
Actually, Arturo, were these cats with you when you were in the vault during the Great War? Were these your vault cats by any chance?
So Arturo kind of looks at you and says, that, my lady, is a great question. This is Nermal and Newton. They are two of my cats here.
Nermal.
Nermal.
And Nermal and Newton I found wandering the streets when I moved in it's been about 100 years. And they've been here ever since. You know,
oh, wow.
Back in the old world, it used to be cats only live, you know, max of like 20 years. I've seen one that lives 21, but 100-year-old cats. And I've got them well trained. And maybe some ways they've trained me. It's a mystery to me. But that's the story on the cats. They help me out. They build different stuff. In fact, and he snaps his fingers up in the air, and the cats come out of the little doors in the cage, and the cats run up on Hazel and Pep, grab their coins, and then take their claws that have, it seems like, a little bit of thread on them, and start stitching the coins into their clothes.
Thank you.
Okay, so this is happening. This is amazing.
Arturo then looks at Lonnie and says, kind of shakes the gun, the laser pistol that Lonnie once had, and it's kind of flimsy, flops yeah. and is going around, and says
a lot rattling noises that weren't originally there,
and says, "I got you something way better than this," and goes in the back. Reaches out and passes a small trumpet through the little hole in the cage. And Lonnie receives the Satch gun, which is an energy weapon that is a modified trumpet that is also a laser pistol.
Nice.
So that's what he gets.
Do you have to hold it up to your mouth to shoot it?
No, it's just
figure out which hint's the right one, because that's a mistake. You only make one.
So Arturo overhears this and he starts laughing, but he doesn't respond.
Arturo, do you happen to have a range?
Excuse me?
Do you happen to have a range, like somewhere where we can do a test fire? I imagine that they don't look too kindly to firing off weapons in the city proper. I didn't know if maybe you had a...
These are for use outside the city. And he kind of winks at you a little bit. And says that... They don't have, you know, we don't exactly have a range here. But I've been known to discharge a weapon here and there, just as you know, my business dictates. So if it happens to discharge, just shoot it somewhere safe. Aim for a wall. There's no neighbors beside me. Don't have any neighbors beside me.
I think I can curb my enthusiasm until we get outside the walls, but...
Arturo looks at you and says, I appreciate that. At this point, the other cats jump off of Pep and Hazel and jump onto Buck and Lonnie and start sewing in their coins with their hands. At this point, he looks over at Pep and says, now here's something for you. And he snaps his fingers and a cat runs out the little... the cat is up on Clark. Right? No, Cap is up on Lonnie and Buck. So the one on Lonnie finishes sewing. Arturo snaps his fingers and a door opens. And all of a sudden there is a big bass, like an instrument. And it's been modified so that it looks like it has a hammer kind of emblazoned on the side. It is a very large weapon. And he says, he looks at Pep and he says, now, you look like a big boy to me, so, you know, a big boy needs a big toy. And gestures to the base. And, Pep, you get the battle base.
Oh. Battle base.
Next, he looks at Buck and sees Buck standing there in his vault suit. And he says, now, I happen to be a vault dweller myself, and I know that every vault dweller wants... The thing that they want the most is a great boner. And he snaps his fingers in the air, and another compartment opens, and a big trombone is there.
Beg your pardon?
And he gestures at the vault dweller and says, please pick up your boner. And you will receive the boner, which is a blunderbuss trombone. It used a shotgun shell. And it's a two-handed weapon. It's inaccurate. It has spread and it's vicious. You can find it on the sheet. And last but not least, he looks over at Hazel. And he snaps his fingers. And then from the kind of like a compartment opens up overhead. And 15 Mardi Gras beads fall down from the ceiling onto the floor.
Whip them out.
She doesn't get it.
15 Mardi Gras beads fall onto the floor and says... kind of looks at you and says, if you need anything more, I'm right here. We'll just make another trade. So what you've gotten is you've gotten Mardi Gras beads that are kind of like bolos. I think it's called the entangling beads. And they're kind of like a sneak-based instrument. And so they ensnare enemies. That's one of the things that they end up doing.
I think the thing we wrote was basically... when you get the effect, it has the same effect of hitting a critical, but can be like healed. So like, oh, I can't use my arms or my legs or I'm blinded, but basically they can use an action to remove that status effect. That seemed to be the easiest way to handle the effect, is just piggyback off the critical effects or injuries, I guess they're called.
One last thing, he reaches behind his desk and hands a piccolo over into the receptacle and gestures to Hazel and says, an extra weapon only makes sense for the lady that had all of the weapons. And so you also receive the Peking Piccolo, which is a small concealed gun that uses 38 rounds, kind of like a pipe rifle, but you're able to kind of hide it away.
Okay. And so the I understand the entangling beads are a thrown weapon. It's like one string of 15 beads, right? It's not 15 string of beads, right? Although that'd be hilarious.
It means you get 15 weapons.
You have 15 strings of beads.
Well, I did trade in like 15 weapons, so.
Yes, he gave you 15 Mardi Gras bead strings.
Oh, awesome. So I'm going to put those on.
Just, excellent.
Purple and gold and green everywhere.
As good a place as any to keep them.
I imagine when she puts them on, Arturo kind of gives a look. He's an old world.
Yeah, he's kind of like chuckling to himself. Obviously, this whole snapping and things from the various secret compartments. He seems very pleased with himself.
He's got his own little joke. He's got his private jokes.
Yes,
you're a couple hundred years old. You got to come up with your own inside jokes.
Exactly. And so he kind of looks at the group and says, well, that'll be it. I guess our business is concluded unless I can help y'all with anything else.
I have a quick question. You've been very, very generous in our exchanges, Arturo. Do you have any ranged weapons, and how much do they cost if we were to come, like, trade in some caps for weapons later? Because I will admit that I would love a long-range weapon that could do a very specific kind of damage, but I have no idea how much it would cost or if it's even available. But you're very clever. It might be something you might be able to come up with.
Arturo kind of looks at you and says, what kind of specific damage are we talking about here?
Have you ever heard of a syringer? It's basically a weapon that will allow me to administer various substances at a distance. So I've read about them in books. I saw one, just not up close once. And it occurs to me that might be a very useful non-lethal weapon. Not necessarily lethal weapon. That would be possibly something that you could come up with.
Arturo kind of stops you and says, I think I understand what you're talking about here. We've got, I think, a weapon that you would enjoy. It's called the Hangover. Back in the old world, people like to get drunk around here, and oftentimes there was some magical hang. It used to be like bacon and eggs back in the old world. It used to be like a cup of coffee, and then some fancy people got in here and started shooting stuff into their arms, thinking there was some like vitamin B76 or some sort of situation. And
that sounds perfect.
That was kind of the last remnant of the old world. But here's the thing. This isn't necessarily your typical mercantile situation. I've had to make some changes over time, and I only give out weapons based on your social status. And from what I can tell, you all only have one coin. Now, I've managed to set you up with all the things that you might need for whatever L has got you doing. But outside of that, these weapons and this kind of stuff is safe for guards, safe for people that are protecting the city. Now, maybe one day y'all are going to have that kind of social standing, but I'm not. That's not something I'm going to be trading with you here today. It's not a. You don't have the coin, if you would say.
Well, that's fair. That sounds like something that we can talk about in the future.
Sounds great. Look at y'all. Y'all some respectable people over here, not causing a scene whatsoever in my shop. And he kind of snaps, and the cats run back after sewing all of your coins together behind the cage and kind of take their paws and lift their goggles up. And he turns around and starts working on things in the shop, and now is kind of ignoring you all.
I think we're done here, guys.
You wanted a bite to eat, didn't you?
I thought we were going to get something to eat. Arturo? No?
Listen, I'm a local. Let me...
You know a good place to get a good sandwich around here?
I know of places where you can get sandwiches.
At this point, you hear some commotion outside. There's some, like, yelling or something that's going on outside, but you can't quite hear it. It's a little bit muffled in the shop over the sound of essentially Arturo tearing up your old weapons.
I'm home.
Well, I have to say, I'm glad it worked out for everybody, but please, guys, next time, don't give up your weapons like that. It makes my job a lot harder.
You know, maybe this is me talking from a place of privilege, coming from a stable settlement, but what have you guys gone through that makes you so sketchy when people ask you for basic things? We're here working for them. If our boss tells us to give our guns to the fat ghoul with the ghoul cats, just do it.
I think in response to that, Clark will, lift up his shirt or something like that and show a few scars and be like, sorry, I think I'll pass on disarming myself willingly.
Fine. I mean, you got a knife with a gun. I got a giant upright base I got to carry around now.
Yeah, I think Lonnie's gaze sticks around on those scars for a little bit. Just like, I don't know. Like, just seeing it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, and I'm not complaining. He took my favorite throwing knife. I mean, I killed my first dude with that knife. Like, I had a sentiment. I mean, I'm trying to be practical here, but I did have a bit of a sentimental attachment to one of those.
Wait, have all of you guys killed someone?
Oh, God, no.
Yes.
Pep, you've watched me murder, like, 3 people.
Like, Clark, yeah, I get it.
Not so far, but I'm looking forward to it.
Well, it's survival of the fittest.
I've beat the hell out of a few, but I've never killed anyone.
At this point, Arturo slams his tools in the ground and says, get out. I can't think. You all are killed. Just, I've dealt with you all enough. The cats have run away. Get out of the shop. And he goes back
sorry,
to doing this.
Sorry, sir. Sorry, sir.
Guys, come we on, scared let's go. The cats.
Let's head toward the fight outside because, you know, we love danger.
So you all step out into the street and you hear the official drink of Old Nolans here at Carousel Bar. You haven't experienced Old Nolans till you try it. Free for all citizens, open for all friends, fresh eats, cool treats all day. And then it repeats and repeats and repeats. And this guy is like kind of right in your face. The official drink of Old Nolans here at Carousel Bar. You haven't experienced Old Nolans till you try it. Free for all citizens, open for all friends, fresh eats, cool treats.
The price is right. Treats. Let's go.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Sounds like food to me.
Our adventures continue after this short break.
Hey, this is Dave, the GM of the podcast. Just wanted to stop by and do a little quick shake and howdy here. You know, shake your little hand, say a little howdy. That's what I call it most of the time. Note that we are still raising money for Project Hope for Ukraine and raising money for the New Orleans Children's Hospital through Extra Life. Our donation tiers are out there. You get to name your NPC. Nermal and Newton was a named NPC from one of our donators, which is always exciting. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast on iTunes and Spotify. Give us 5 stars and follow us on social media at RadRolls. I want to thank the cast of Cody, Jared, May, Mike, and Jaden for your time. I'm going to keep it short this week. So with that, let's get back to the show. This area, this kind of building, is like a dilapidated hotel across the street from Arturo's. So you all enter this dilapidated hotel and find yourself in a lobby that's kind of half broken down. The left side of the room is fully caved in and has like the ceiling part all the way down, so you can actually look up into the building on the left side. But the right side showcases a doorway that leads into a big hall. This hall is populated by various locals on benches and some very old armchairs, and everyone's kind of enjoying a little drink. In the back of this room, though, there is a carousel, and there's a bar that surrounds the carousel that has chairs attached to it. And you notice that the bar kind of spins, a little bit. There's enough seats for you all to sit at the bar, and there's this nicely, lavishly dressed lady that's kind of shaking drinks and smoking a cigarette at the same time.
Well, let's belly up to the bar, boys.
Is Lonnie still bleeding?
It's just a scratch.
Scratch.
I mean, even if it is, like, the Brotherhood Scribe undershirt is actually a nice, like, dark red. So I think it probably blends quite nicely.
Yeah.
I'm just picturing him walking in, blood coming out of his face to this bar.
I don't seem too bothered by it.
He is a local after all.
Yeah, you know, another run in with Puss in Boots.
Yeah.
Nermal and Newton. Mm.
By the way, Witch Hazel definitely has like an astringent, like Witch Hazel or something on her to help with bleeding. So, she's eyeballing Lonnie, but she's waiting for him to acknowledge that he's bleeding and might need a little patch up.
It's fine. He's fine.
Hey, Hazel, you keep looking over here. Is there something on my face?
You've got red on you.
Oh.
You've got red on you.
Oh, it's from the cats, right? It'll stop.
Yeah.
It's against gangrenous. Take care of that.
From my experience, it'll stop.
Okay. Do you want like a napkin or something?
You got one?
A moist towelette.
Yes, a moist towelette might be a good idea. I'm sure they have one at the bar, so let's go get like a coaster to stop up all that blood or something.
Is it that bad?
Well, scalp wounds have the tendency to bleed profusely, and it is on your face. So
I do keep a sword pretty sharp, man.
Fair enough. Let me get one in me, and then I'll have you take a look if you'd be willing.
So do you all, where do you all go? Do you go up to this bar?
Sitting at
you...
the bar.
Yeah, the carousel.
Actually, wait, before I sit down, can I make a little perception check just to see like what kind of people are in the bar or what's going on?
Hang on. Let me get out my, I didn't have my rule sheet here.
By the way, I'm making a mental note, Clark, not to have Hazel give Clark poison to put on his sword blade in the future.
Do what?
No poison on the sword.
No poison on your sword blade. Because people keep getting stuck with the pointy end.
That's true.
Fire is on.
Two out of the four of you have already been hurt by my sword.
Perception plus intelligence. Because that makes, okay. I mean, nope, perception, god damn it. Perception plus speech, difficulty zero. By George.
Perception plus, okay. Perception. Perception is a 5, speech is a 3. So 8 or lower. I got a 15 and a 16. Not rolling well tonight.
Yeah, so you can't really, you look around the bar and you can't really tell who all these people are, but it's a mix of ghouls and humans. You naturally don't notice any super mutants. Those would stand out. With a fail, I will allow you to not notice any super mutants. there are none in there.
Looked like some fine chaps to me.
Yes. so you all sit at the bar and, This lady is kind of mixed in drinks, and she turns around and looks at you all and says, we've got a new group in town. What can I get you to drink?
A man did shout at us about cool treats. Tell me what you got for cool treats.
Free cool treats.
Have you all ever been here before? Because we have some fine, fine drinks here. And if you've never had a drink from All Narlands, then you haven't had a drink at all.
I'm going to look at Lonnie to see if he's been here before. Or or is familiar with this place?
Not this particular establishment. They're I'll lean in close to Pep. It's like they're kind of a dime a dozen around here, so.
The lady kind of looks at you all and says, "Have you all ever had a Sazerac?"
Oh, I have never heard. I've never had one, but it sounds divine.
Well, tale says that if a group happens upon a certain spinning bar in New Orleans and shares a drink of Sazerac, then they're forever bonded by destiny and will forever, forever be entwined. And she starts taking some various bottles off the shelf and starts mixing as she's doing this slow talking, kind of almost like she's in the Black Lodge in Twin Peaks and she's about to talk backwards at you.
Well, guys, if I'm going to have my first drink, this is where it's going to be.
You've killed someone.
Yes.
And you've never had a drink before.
Yeah, well, they're not mutually
exclusive.
What a
wildlife, Hazel.
Well, one of these days, maybe I'll tell you the story. But for now, just you guys are going to drink with me, right?
Yeah, they said it was cold. I'm guessing. I'm watching them mix the drink. I don't know if there's a single cold thing in it, but
so the lady at the bar takes the cups and lays them out and has a little, looks like a cube of sugar in each cup, and takes the drink and pours it over the cube of sugar for each individual member of the party, and looks at you all and says, "A customary thing in all Nolans is to tink your glasses and say cheers."
I'll raise my glass, like, clink, clink, cheers.
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 I am gonna point cheers. Out before we take a sip that you're willing to trust this shady situation, but not the ghoul who was going to give us new weapons. Just pointing that out, guys. I mean, priorities. All right, bottoms up. Right?
I'm already a sip in as he's having this soliloquy here. Like,
Clark is like halfway through it already.
Yeah.
He's not listening to what Pep says at all.
I said to him, "Pep, your statement is acknowledged and promptly ignored." And I swing it.
So Hazel takes her first sip and her eyes like cross a little bit and her mouth puckers up and she goes, "Wow, that's a lot. It's really something." And she takes another sip and goes, "Yeah, no, I think I like this. I think it's really it's good. I think I really like this."
We should probably get some food going here too if we're gonna session these.
The lady looks at you all and says, "I'll be back in a jiffy," and walks out. She heard you say that, and she looks at you and says that.
Okay. Yeah.
Not like "I need some food. Bye."
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I'm
gonna
go get the food now.
No, that's awesome. And good. Good choice for a drink selection, by the way.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites in real life.
Correct. I love them. And this is a real bar that you all are in. It is a real is a real place that I've been to as well. At this point, Lonnie feels a tap on his shoulder. And he turns around and sees a kind of a middle-aged lady in kind of street clothes, what you would see in New Orleans. But Lonnie recognizes her as a member of the Brotherhood of Steel, though entirely out of uniform, and kind of eyes him expectingly.
Oh, can you all give me a moment? I'll have what's on the order. See if she's got any extra cigarettes or something. But I'll I'll be right back. I'll step away from the bar and probably make my way like outside just to get some fresh air or anything.
Sure.
And I'm assuming this person will probably like follow me out there.
Yeah, they this lady follows you out there. And once you're out there, she says, Private Haber, report.
Yeah, sure thing. We've established a settlement at the indicated locations, now currently named the Rising Sun Settlement. We were recalled back here from Ella Fitzgibbons on some personal work that she once done. I was informed of the Brotherhood of Steel situation, but not really much of the exacts. So I'm a little bit confused as to what to do right now. I can't even wear my robes in town.
You've missed a lot.
Yeah.
This city has turned against us. Everything that we have worked for seems like has been thrown out the window. I do have a few questions for you.
Yeah, sure thing.
I'm happy to answer any questions that you need, but what's the super mutant situation in Rising Sun Settlement?
We currently have two there. There's the first who is already established there by the name of Signal seems to be running the radio there. The
Her
second,
eyes get really wide and she goes, two?
Yeah, the second we encountered on the road up here, they were, seems like they left the dome. We're looking for gainful employment. Really nice fella. I mean, I don't foresee it being an issue. We questioned him before we invited him to the settlement. We need the labor, the hands.
You'll need to report this to command. What's your status within the group currently?
So I'm actually the democratically elected mayor. They made that decision based off of my standing with Brotherhood of Steel, actually.
At this point, her eyes get even wider.
Yeah, I know, right?
and she looks at you and says, "This is not what we need. We don't need eyes on us. We've gone incognito in the city, and now you're telling me that you're the mayor of some settlement that's trying to let's be honest. Do they know you're a part of the Brotherhood of Steel?"
Who's they?
The other members of the settlement that we sent you to.
I was wearing the damn robes. Of course they know.
She looks concerned, and she looks at you and says, "Lonnie, you're the only member that we haven't had track of. We've been able to recall every other member of the Brotherhood of Steel back to headquarters across the river, and you mean to tell me that you have put us back in the spotlight again when we are desperately trying to be secretive about the information that we've recovered, about the situation in New Orleans, and you're out here gallivanting around drinking a Sazerac?"
I mean, yeah, it sounds like it, but I'm not sure why you're turning this on me. You knew exactly where I was and what I was doing.
At this point, the lady looks at you and hands you a iron chain and says, "You'll need this. Report to command at your earliest convenience." And she disappears into the crowd.
I'll tuck that in my pocket and rub my temples a little bit, take a deep breath, and head back into the bar.
All right. So at this point, you walk back into the bar. What's everybody been talking about while Lonnie's been outside getting yelled at?
Pep, how exactly did you make it all the way down here
without ever having to kill anybody.
Well, I mean, conflict is kind of a choice, right? And, you know, my background, we're all about speed and precision and getting through a pocket, you know, like using some drift to get where we gotta go. So I made my way down, avoided spots I shouldn't be, avoided people I shouldn't be with. Sometimes you just gotta, you know, yell really loudly and scare off the rabid feral dogs. You know, you sometimes you can avoid a fight.
And wait.
I've been lucky and I've been able to avoid it. But
anyway. Wait. You haven't even killed any dogs?
No. Who wants to kill a dog? What's wrong with you guys? Have all of you killed dogs? What's wrong with you guys? They're just dogs.
Well, if they were trying to kill us first, it's fair.
Yeah, yes.
You know, we were hungry, so, you know.
But, you know.
I said, I killed a cat named Dog once, if it counts.
You killed a cat? I'm glad you didn't say that in front of our
He show. Lives in a vault.
Was it a...
In my defense, it was an asshole. So, I feel like I was justified.
You know, this Sazerac is really, really...
At this point, Lonnie returns to the bar, and... the strange bartender rounds the corner with a platter of little smokies with toothpicks in them and lays them out in front of you and gives one to each of you and says something to eat. And she looks at Buck sitting there and says, vault and stock. How is our fair city in comparison to your vault?
She was hitting on you. She called you fine stock.
It's different, to say the least. There's a lot more people here, and you all have some strange ideas about how things are supposed to work.
What's so strange about it?
I gotta be honest. I heard the word communism thrown around, and it's concerning. It's concerning for where I come from.
What's so concerning about the whims of a city?
Well, I don't like how you said that at all. I'm gonna be honest, I don't like how you said that at all.
You and me both, buddy.
She looks at you and says, be not concerned. This is a fair city, and you seem very well equipped. I spy the boner.
Oh god, you can see that? I mean, my gun, yes.
Oh my god.
She cackles in laughter and draws back and has a long fixture of that's attached to a cigarette and takes a few puffs. And she kind of looks at the group and says, can I get you all anything else?
Yeah, you got any hand-rolled cigarettes?
She takes out her cigarette out of her fixture and hands it to you and says, anything for you, Lonnie? You do not recognize her.
You're right. And I'm going to take a moment when I got that cig. I was like, oh, yes, cigarette. And she says my name, like, I'm still going to put it in my mouth. And take a few puffs. I'm just going to ruminate on that fact a little bit.
Okay, fair warning. Hazel is a little buzzed and maybe very... getting to be very, very energetic about things. So,
yes.
She's game to do all the things.
All right. Yeah. Hazel, eat your smokies.
little look, snakes. Look, little dogs.
Yep. You'll want to eat those sooner rather than later.
Oh, okay.
All right. So, Lonnie, Ella mentioned that we should go check like the old Brotherhood headquarters or bunker for supplies to get into the vault.
Something like that. Yeah.
Do you think they left any something like power that. Armor behind? You know, just laying around?
Lonnie's kind of looking over shoulders and stuff because just the general climate concerning Brotherhood of Steel. And I'll lean over to Pep and say, like, there's a lot of eyes and ears here. If you recall our conversation with Ella, my first conversation with Ella, you recall that certain allegiances and certain groups are probably verboten right now.
Yeah, I didn't say at you least were in, a member. I mean,
right. We're just gonna raid in general the abandoned talk.
Brotherhood.
Well.
We're gonna rob them blind, right? Because nobody likes them.
It's,
there's got to be enough power armor to go around, right?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but abandoned means there's no one there.
Yeah.
Like that. Oh yeah, salvage rights. That's a thing, right?
Well,
like pirates.
Oh, come on, Lonnie. You can't get him just one set of power armor.
Did you see what they outfitted me with? I'm a damn member.
Oh, I just didn't think they liked you very much.
Well, I mean, I can see where they would get that. I mean,
I have an idea.
Yeah.
So there's... If I remember, there's like a museum of like there's a military museum, like a war museum in New Orleans somewhere. Maybe they'd have like a display of power armor that maybe we could get a piece from that.
Now you're talking about stealing from the preservationists, which I mean, I'm not recommending that.
Well,
woe be it unto me to suggest I still harbor any animosity towards the preservationists today.
Well, maybe not. Maybe if it's just something that is like shoved in a back room that wasn't nice enough to put out on display. Maybe, you know, spare parts somewhere.
They might even have the sword.
Well, I'll look around my shoulders, given my connections. There is some place that I need to go, and perhaps I can give you some more information on said salvage rights. With a big obvious wink, and I'm not sure if anybody knows that, you know, what we're talking about at this point, but, you know, Lonnie thinks it looks cool. Like, yeah, salvage rights, wink, like,
Yeah, Hazel doesn't exactly know what he's winking about, but she gives like an over-exaggerated wink back.
Yeah. And Lonnie takes that as Hazel understanding what he's this poorly coded message he's trying to pass along this carousel. So I have some local business, and if anybody wants to join me, I guess that's fine, but we have a lot of leads. There's that one, wasn't there the fortune teller? The
fortune teller? She's got...
Ooh, yeah, I want to go visit her.
Yeah, there. I'm not down with that, Grigory, so, like, someone else can go check with the fortune teller. Like, that's...
At this point, The bartender comes back and says, "What fortune teller have you heard of?"
Madame Malvan?
Madame Malvan, I think her name was.
Maleficent? Madame Maleficent? Start with an M.
It was a madam. It started with an M.
Malavance.
Malavance, that's sure.
She kind of laughs and says, I know who that is.
Oh, shit.
And laughs and takes a smoke of her cigarette and then kind of walks around the corner out of your view.
Should we all follow her or just like one or two of us?
I don't want to get involved with this great. Gosh.
Come on, it'll be fun. Let's go.
No, it's never fun.
I don't like it.
I'll join in.
Lonnie and Blue Boy can stay. I'm going after the creepy lady with the cigarettes.
Pep, you try to get out of your chair, and you are a little bit dizzy, and you sit back down.
Chair. I think I'm good. Give me a little smoky there, Hazel.
You'll want to stay for a bit. You'll want to load up on the little weenies, man. That's about it. I know you asked what meat's in it, and I'm going to answer it by saying it'll make you feel full.
Fair enough. I'll eat some little smokies. Pig skins. We gotta go to the little smoky skins.
Well, look here. All I'm saying. No. Well,
little smoky mints. We gotta go to the little smoky mints to get the boom booms.
Look, I don't know what these things are.
All right. So, what were we talking about?
Okay. Yeah. Wait. All right. So here's the plan.
Okay.
We gotta get into the vault.
Yes.
And the ghoul lady who was making fun of Lonnie.
Yeah.
Place said we need.
Lonnie, it's okay.
We need the overseer's code. We need the overseer's code from the husband guy who's dead.
Yeah.
I think.
Chariot. Yeah. There.
Yeah.
That's at another bar. And I think maybe we go.
Yeah.
Maybe we go to that bar.
Yeah.
Let's go to the bar.
Let's go to another bar. Great idea.
A different bar.
Let's go to another bar.
You know what?
Oh. Damn.
I think we should go hop over to the other bar.
That's a great
idea. Maybe we could check and see if there's any bars between here and there, and then we could hop to those bars, and then it'll be a bar hop. Like a little buddy.
Bar hop here.
Guys, I'm going to be honest here. Hazel's having a little too much fun with this whole situation.
Bar hop.
Hey. And wait, what are we doing at that bar?
We'll figure it out when we get there.
When we get there.
Yeah.
I think we. Wait, what?
Bar. We're hopping. Bars.
We're going to the bar. Let's just go to the bar.
Because there's the vault and there's the mean lady.
And I've got beads, so let's go.
Wait.
Yeah.
How do we get there? Hey, bartender. What was her name? Does anybody remember her name?
Wait. You can't ask the bartender where the other bar is.
No. It's fine. It's fine.
We just go outside.
Clark,
we just go outside.
Okay. I was gonna ask if she knew the dead husband guy, or is he dead? I don't remember if he's dead.
Oh. Well, he's not dead because we have to find him. Better bring a shovel.
Listen, I'm...
And he owns the Sweet Chariot, and...
Sweet Chariot, that was the name of the bar. Let's go there.
Sweet Chariot. Coming on to carry me home.
We bring the little smokies from this bar to the other bar. Is that rude?
All right, I'm gonna lay down. Has
anybody seen my baby? I had a. What happened to my purple baby?
Roll difficulty 5, perception plus survival.
Yikes!
Oh no!
Oh. I was waiting until somebody asked about the baby. I've been waiting this whole time.
All right, hold on.
I thought the baby was still in the car. Not gonna lie.
That's a 3 and an 18. So that's one success.
You look, Hazel, you try to get up a little bit. Like, you're like craning your neck around. You cannot see the baby. The baby is not here anymore. The baby is absolutely gone.
Guys, I think I lost my baby.
Wait, were we supposed to take the baby to the pigskins?
Oh, no, I'm so sorry, Hazel.
I think we already did that. We forgot.
Oh.
We forgot. We already did it. We already gave the baby.
Oh, let's face it. I was a horrible babysitter.
Oh, poor Ockershoes.
Aubergine. His name was Aubergine. I think it was a he. Man. Okay, so maybe.
Man.
I forgot what I was going to say.
That sucks.
Damn.
Oh, Nolan's not a great place to be orphaned.
Maybe we left that outside.
Well,
yeah, you can't bring babies into bars, right?
You can't bring a baby in here. You must.
No, everybody knows you can't bring a baby in a bar. It's outside.
So, baby, he might be waiting outside. Let's go see. Let's go find the bouncing baby, and then we'll bounce to another bar. That's perfect. And, that's not fair. We can't bring the baby inside.
At this point, the group looks around. Is kind of looking for this baby and talking about this baby. And the bartender comes out from the corner and is smoking her cigarette on the long pipe. It's a different cigarette because Lonnie has the other cigarette. And while this carousel bar is spinning, a blue dog hops up onto the carousel bar and starts walking and acting like he's on a little treadmill. And as the circular bar turns around, it seems like the blue dog is just kind of moving this bar. It starts to move faster. The chairs that you're in are moving faster. You're enamored with this dog, and it spins, and the whole room is a blur.
Blue dog, watch out. These guys are dog killers.
Okay, so guys, either this is a really good drink or the room's moving. It's either a really, really good drink or this room's moving.
The room becomes so spinning that it is shapeless and spinning into a new room, a vision forms. A fluorescent light hangs above your head. They illuminate the science lab in front of you. The results on the screen read, "Subject success." You look up to see a floating human in a tank. A siren rings out, and emergency power kicks on. You hear a rushing of water from outside the door. Your assistant looks at you, scared, and begins to whimper. He turns his back, racing towards the door. You pull your laser pistol and shoot him in the back of his head. He falls to the ground. Outside, you hear a banging against a door with increasing urgency. You activate the emergency lockdown on the computer in front of you. The doors and windows to the outside begin to further reinforce themselves. You radio through your Pip-Boy. Vault 18, critical failure. Subject in need of emergency pickup. You look at the face floating in the human tank. Their eyes open and they glow green and the room begins to swirl violently. Hazel. The room begins to swirl and swirls into a new vision. The sun is rising over a red rocky ravine. You look back at your group attaching saddlebags to Brahmin. A woman in a straw hat gives you a solemn nod. There's a dry heat in the air as the smell of rust fills your lungs. Waterside feels like the only solace in this harsh place. You sit beside your leader while he reads a pre-war book. The pages are trimmed with a golden hue. Words escape your mouth, just like my sister. Your eyes adjust to the light as you spy a bull drinking from irradiated water. The room begins to swirl violently. Clark. As the room swirls from outside of the vision of the vault, fire has engulfed the building of the carousel bar. You're sitting at the bar. It's spinning. Where there used to be chairs are four poles with various horse carvings. Atop one carving sits a woman with a flowing cape composed of pages from a book, holding a bow, drawing a large syringe. The next carving is a blonde-haired boy in a red jumpsuit, holding a flaming sword in the air. Another shows a blindfolded robed man, holding a scale that weighs a small gear and a sword on a chain. The last one showcases a power armor-clad being, black as obsidian, with red thunderbolts shooting out behind the mechanical-looking horse. You turn around. A man lies defeated below you. In his disheveled and severely burnt garments, he brandishes an odd coin. You hate him. You hate everything he has caused and everything he stands for. He should die. The blood of your friends is on his hands. He smirks at you and begins to draw his gun. Clark, what do you do?
Do I have weapons on me?
You do. You have your sword and your pistol.
Can I use my sword to hit the gun away from him before he aims it at me?
Yeah. Please roll a difficulty zero. Let's see. What's the melee weapons? Is it strength plus melee weapons, right? Strength plus melee weapons, difficulty zero.
Oh shit, I rolled 3 and a 2, so that is 4 successes.
Yeah, you got 4 successes, 4 AP. It's difficulty zero.
Wow.
As this guy begins to draw his gun, you take your sword out. Your sword is almost in a glowing hue. It's impossible to see what your sword looks like. But you hit this gun out of his hand. You see it's laying on the ground. It has a strange barrel. It's a pistol of some sort. It's something like you've never seen before. It almost looks like it's not a laser weapon, it seems, but it's kind of strange. He smirks at you, and you hear a little instrument. And a man in a trench coat appears and starts firing his gun directly at you. And the room begins to swirl. The party awakens. You hear a squelch of radio and a voice yell into it. Paladin Buffon, looks like Private Hair Bear drank absinthe again.
Will the crew recover from their night of sweet release? And what do these visions mean for the party moving forward? Find out next week on Rad Rolls.